Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the BizTalk radio show. My name is Randy Melzer. I'll be your host this morning. My co-host, Tony Bush, is not going to be with us today. He's under the weather with a little touch of the flu. So you're going to be, I guess, stuck with me for the day. But we have a very interesting guest coming on from Herling Clark Law. We're going to have Greg Curtis talking about some of the things as far as business and law and some of the legal aspects involved. So we'll be getting to Greg in just a little bit. First of all, though, just a little bit about the BizTalk show. As you know, we are brought to you every week through the SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. And real quickly, a little bit about SCORE. SCORE has been around for about 45 years. We have a number of SCORE mentors here in the Valley. What we do is provide a free mentoring service for those businesses, people who want to start a business or have been in business for a while or are looking for exit strategies, whatever you need, the SCORE mentors are available for free counseling services. We also serve a 8-county area throughout the area around the Lake Winnebago area, all the way down to Fond du Lac, Green Lake, and those areas. And again, we have a branch in the Oshkosh area. So again, we have people available for you, whatever your needs may be. SCORE itself is a national organization with a little over 400 branches throughout the country and about 14,000 members. Again, all of it being free services to you. And so anytime that you need some counseling, need some mentoring, or just thinking about starting a business and want to talk to somebody about what's needed, we recommend that you get a hold of us. Contact us at our website, which is at www.foxcities.score.org, and we'll be very happy to arrange a meeting with one of our mentors to work with you. Okay, in addition to the mentoring services, SCORE also provides a number of programs, workshops, and special programs that we do for our clients. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be doing what is known as the Simple Steps Program. It's a five-session course. It'll be beginning here in January on the 17th, the first session, and that is going to be Business Basics. It's on January 17th from 8 a.m. until 12:30 in the morning. It's going to be held at the Copper Rock Coffee Shop in downtown Appleton, right on College Avenue. They have a really very nice meeting room there, and so we hope to have a number of people there. The cost is only $25 for the first session. Then after that, there will be four more sessions coming up later in February. And those will be running on February the 6th, February 13th, 20th, and 27th. They will cover business basics. They will cover marketing planning. They will cover the area of financial projections and also funding sources. So we'd ask if you attend the first session, and then we will be going on to the other four. Hopefully, by the time you get done, we will be in a good position to write a business plan and move ahead with your business. Now, that is the Simple Steps program coming up. I said the first one is in January on the 17th. To register for those, again, if you would want to go out to the SCORE website, www.foxcities.score.org, or you can go to the website for BizTalk, which is biztalkwithscore.com, and just click on the request for local programs, and you can register for the Simple Steps program that will be coming up for you. Okay. The Biz Talk show is brought to you every week. I'd like to just mention some of the sponsors that we have and thank them for their help and assistance. First of all, we have Associated Bank for your lending needs as far as business lending. We also have Albertson Hailing, CPAs, been with us for a number of years, who help you when it comes to your accounting, planning, and all the different numbers that you have to work with. We also work with Hurling Clark Law Firm, and that's going to be our guest today, who's going to be Greg Curtis from Hurling Clark. We would also like to thank the people from eBiz Results. They're the people who put together the new website that we have here for the Biz Talk show. And also we'd like to thank the Lakeview Credit Union for their sponsorship and support. Finally, don't forget about the business news. We have they help us out on a regular basis. They publish every 2 weeks and have a full line of information as far as what's going on in the Fox River Valley as far as business, what's happening, and what's going on in the valley. So those are the sponsors that we have. And by the way, if you would be interested in becoming a sponsor, again, give us a call. You can contact either myself or Tony Bush, and the contact information, again, is on our website. So give us a buzz if you might have some thoughts about your business that you might want to be a sponsor for the Biz Talk show. Always happy to work with new sponsors coming up. Actually, our quarter is actually going to be coming up starting the 26th. So we are working with some new sponsors coming up at that point in time. And so we'll be introducing those to you in the next couple of weeks. All righty. So that's what's going on a little bit with SCORE. Two other things that I would like to just remind you of. First of all, as far as veterans out there, if you are looking for help, either as far as mentoring is concerned, or if you are looking to attend the BizTalk Simple Steps program, we would remind you that SCORE does have a program. It's called the Fast Launch Initiative. All you need to do is to go out to the National SCORE website, click on the Fast Launch Initiative, and you are able to then attend any and all of the SCORE programs for free. So any veterans, even people like Tony who have the Civil War background can always be involved. You're welcome to come to the program. So just go out to score.org and sign up. They will give you a coupon that you can then use to attend free any of the seminars and programs that SCORE offers. And one last thing that we're going to be doing, I mentioned that we cover the area all the way down to Fond du Lac, Green Lake, and that area. We are working in the Fond du Lac area especially to try and increase the number of mentors and counselors that we have down there. So kind of speaking to people down that district, that area, if you are interested in becoming a SCORE counselor, a SCORE mentor, we're going to be having a special program down in the Fond du Lac area. It's going to be on February the 18th. It's going to be at the Oasis Restaurant. We'll have more information available on that on the website as well. But anybody who is going to be, who has an interest in getting involved with SCORE, giving back to your community, we would just like to announce that we will be meeting with people on February the 18th. It will be a luncheon meeting at the Oasis Restaurant. If you are interested in attending, I would ask again that you give us a call. You can reach us at 920-734-7101. Let people know that you are interested, and we will register you to come in for that luncheon. Definitely looking for people to help out, give back to the community in the Fond du Lac and the southern areas that we work with. So that's pretty much what's going on with SCORE right now. We're going to take a quick break here and then be back with our guest, with Greg Curtis from Hurling Clark, and remind you again, you can call in with any questions that you have. So we'll be taking a quick break. This is the Biz Talk show here on WHBY, 1150 WHBY, Voice of the Fox Cities. Okay. Okay, and welcome back to the Biz Talk Radio Show here on WHBY. My name is Randy Melzer, and I'll be your host this morning. And we would like to get to introducing our guest today. We have Mr. Greg Curtis. Greg is one of the attorneys from the Hurling Clark Law Firm here in the Valley, which is, of course, one of our sponsors. But, Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been with Hurling Clark, a little bit about the firm.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I grew up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, not too far from here, obviously. Went to Lawrence University for undergrad. My claim to fame, I tell everyone, is that I was captain of the last Lawrence football team to win a championship in 1986. Then I went to Madison for law school. And then right out of law school, I started at Hurling Clark Law Firm. And I've been there for 22 years.
Okay.
I tell everyone I'm the seventh person in my family to be an attorney. It's a genetic defect. We're not very handy people at all.
Okay.
And I think it's why the good Lord put me on this earth is to help people.
You said when we were talking earlier, your father was an attorney also down in Oshkosh?
My father is still practicing.
Okay. So, all righty. So, and how long have you been with Hurling Clark?
22 years.
All righty. And can you tell us a little bit about the firm, what Hurling Clark is all about and what they do?
Absolutely. Hurling Clark Law Firm's been in existence for over 50 years, and we have three sets of attorneys. We have business attorneys, which I am one. We do business, real estate, estate planning, anything with a contract, that type of practice. We have a family law section mm-hmm. that deals with divorces and custody disputes and those type of things. And then we also have a third branch, which is our personal injury attorneys.
Okay. So, but for people who are looking to go into business, get things started and so on, you would be the person that they'd be getting in contact with.
That's
correct. Your division.
That is correct.
And whereabouts are you located?
We're at 800 North Lindale Drive is our Appleton office. We do have three other offices, one in Oshkosh, one in Green Bay, and also one in New London.
Okay, so branching out quite a bit. So anybody out there who's looking for business help to get started, this is the place to come.
Yeah, we'd be more than happy to help anyone.
Okay, how do we get in contact with you?
Simply just call our office at 739-7366 is our main office number, and we also have a website that you can contact us that way as well.
All righty. Well, what we're going to do is kind of go into some ideas as far as some of the things you need to do when starting a business and working with an attorney. If you have any questions out there, by the way, we would ask that you would give us a call. You can reach us here at the HPY Studios at 281-1150, or you can reach us outside of the Appleton area on the TDS Metrocom toll-free line at 1-866-887-1150. So, again, if you want to give us a call, also a reminder, we do have the computer up, so if you would want to contact us that way, just go out online to the biztalkwithscore.com website and post your question, and we'll be happy to try and answer it that way for you. So again, if you have any questions for Greg, please give us a call. Otherwise, I guess the thing we might do is just kind of start out, what would we do? I'm interested in starting a business. Where do we go? What are the things that you recommend? How do you work with a person?
Usually the first thing that we talk about is what kind of business entity. And there's numerous choices, so we have to find the right one for your particular circumstances.
Okay.
One option is a lot of people just start on their own, and they just do a sole proprietorship.
Right.
The downside to that, obviously, is that there's no liability protection. If you do something wrong, you will be sued personally.
Right.
So typically we recommend, if you want some liability protection, to go another route.
Okay.
So a sole proprietorship is you just throw up a sign and you start going into business, selling night crawlers or whatever it is that you want to do.
So that's probably the simplest, easiest, and fastest way to get into business. Now, the next step would be what, a partnership?
Correct. The next thing would be a partnership where two people come together to share profits and losses.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the downside to a partnership is, again, you don't have the corporate protection for liability purposes. I can say, and I don't think I've set up a partnership in the last 15 years because of the advent of limited liability companies.
Correct. Okay, so that brings us to the idea of becoming an LLC, which is probably the most common business structure that people have.
I agree. And the reason the LLCs are so popular is you can have some of the same tax benefits of being a sole proprietor or a partnership, but yet you get the liability protections of being a corporation. So for many people that is that are just starting out, an LLC might be a very good fit for them. There's also some other options, though, as well, and that is called a Chapter 180 for-profit corporation. And you basically, that's the traditional corporation that's been around for decades, is for-profit, where you have the traditional officers, you know, a president, a vice president, a secretary, treasurer. You get issued very, what I think are cool, stock certificates that shows you're the owner of that company, which is, I think, pretty exciting for a new owner. But one of the keys to that, and where the accountants, I think, are very critical to this, is choosing the entity, what's going to be best for you from a tax standpoint.
Okay, so instead of just going through the legal questions, it's always a good idea then to work with an accountant at the same time, find out where you're at and what you really need to have done.
Absolutely. Okay. Accountants, I think, are critical to making that decision whether you should be a C corp, an S corp, an LLC. Do you want to get benefits through your company? Do you need to have the ability to do some other things from a tax standpoint? So picking the right entity up front will save you a bunch of money later.
Right. A lot of people have a misconception that if you are, quote, an LLC, that that is different than being a sole proprietorship or a partnership. In reality, you are an LLC, as you said, just to cover your position as far as liabilities. But you would still be considered a sole proprietorship or a partnership as far as tax purposes and as far as legal purposes are concerned.
That is my understanding as well. The only thing I would say is that I know that you can make some elections from an accounting standpoint. So that's why typically I partner with an accountant to make the decision, A, let's protect them from a liability standpoint, and B, what is the best tax route to go, and then we can formulate and get the best entity for them.
I
would also note that sometimes people, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that have more than one thing going on. And then there's always this question about whether or not you should have the same company for both businesses that are going on. And I always use my law school example of, you know, if I have a fluffy, stuffy pillow company with $1 million of equipment, and then I also have a company that makes dynamite where I only have like $5,000 into it, but and you got a nervous employee putting a wick in it and hoping it doesn't blow up. We would not want those two entities in one company, because if that stick of dynamite hurts someone, all my equipment for my pillow company is all at risk. We wouldn't want to separate that out.
So in other words, plan ahead, make sure you understand exactly what your risks are and how to protect yourself. I have had a couple of clients who have been in the real estate business, rentals and that type of thing, and they'll set up different entities for each of the different properties. Is that a common occurrence?
That is a common occurrence, and it's kind of a risk analysis that every businessman or woman has to make, and that is, you know, how much risk do you want to take? Do you want to have, you know, 30 LLCs? Some people think that's too much administration. So maybe they'll just have 15, LLCs, real estate with similar risks. They'll keep in one LLC, and ones that are maybe more risky, they'll just keep separate as a separate LLC.
So again, always, you know, plan on it, figure out what your risk is, what your liability is. When it comes to putting together an LLC, I know, it's fairly simple to actually register it. But there's a lot more things that go into it. What else should people be aware of when they're forming up an LLC as far as the legal requirements?
Well, that's a good point. A lot of people will set up their own LLC, and they'll file their articles of organization, and they think they're done. And I get people that come in all the time, say, yeah, I already set up my LLC. And then I'll ask them, well, who's the owner? Well, here's my sheet. Well, it doesn't say who the owner is. When you file your articles of organization, it just says what your name is and who's the registered office and the registered agent. The second part to an LLC is typically what's called an operating agreement, which sets forth all the rules. Who owns the company? Usually it's 100% by one person, or maybe there's two people that own 50-50. But without the operating agreement, you have no rules.
That's what I found is so many people fall short in taking that next step and getting that particular job done. And that's where, as the attorney, that's where you need to have the help, is to get that done right. So
I agree. So yeah. That's a very common occurrence. People say, I've already set it up. And then they also do that with corporations, because it's not too difficult to file articles of incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing, but they never issue stock certificates. They don't have any bylaws which says what are the voting rights, who are the owners, you know, how much notice do you have to give to have a meeting,
right?
What are their officers' responsibilities, the president, the vice president, the secretary, the treasurer, all those things are missing.
And this is all stuff that you have to do first before you find yourself in a position where you wish you had done it. That's the other hard part to convince people is if by the time you need it, it's a little too late. When should a person really get this stuff done?
Immediately before you start your business. You should be incorporated right off the bat as a general rule, LLC or S-Corp or C-Corp. And so you have your rules up front, especially if you're going to have a partner. I can tell you, you know, if you only have one owner, not likely to get in a big fight with yourself. You're going to win every argument, not a problem. But mm-hmm. when you start having two, three, four owners, and then there's a dispute, and if you have no set of rules, it is going to be much more costly to exit out of that problem if you had had rules up front.
Okay, so in other words, know what you're going to do before you before it happens to you, and plan ahead on it, especially with the partners. Okay, Greg, we're going to take a quick break here and then come on back and talk a little bit more about the things people need to do when they're setting up a business. Again, remind you, you're listening to the BizTalk show here on WHBY, the voice of the Fox Cities, at 1150. Good morning again, and welcome back to the BizTalk show. My name is Randy Melzer. I'm your host today, and we have been talking with Greg Curtis, attorney at law from the Hurling Clark Law Firm here in Appleton, talking about some of the things as far as business structures and ownership. We were just talking a little bit about some of the partnership pitfalls. There's some more things you wanted to comment on as far as ownership.
I did want to talk about ownership, because one of the key things to setting up a business is who are the owners. A lot of people come to me because they want to set up their own business. They want to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. They want to be in control.
And right, that's one of our favorite fallacies, is that if you have your own business, you're your own boss, and you don't have to worry about having a boss. The truth being that everybody is your boss, but you better plan on how you're going to operate it.
I agree. Your customers are your boss.
Yeah.
No doubt about that, but at least internally. So the question is, how many owners are you going to have?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you only have one person that's in charge, then they can make ultimately all those decisions. If you have two, now you have to have two people to get along. And if you have three, it's even more. So it's very critical right in the start of the formation of the company, who's going to be in charge. A lot of my clients will come to me and say, I want to give some ownership interest to some employees that have worked very hard, which is fine.
Right.
But there's some other alternatives, like giving bonuses or commission structure or other things like that. You don't necessarily have to, you know, give an ownership interest.
Right. Now, as a that would be as a an S corp or a C corp, that you'd give them stock or something like that to have ownership, or can you actually grant ownership as a, let's say, as a sole proprietorship, where you can grant some ownership rights to your people?
A sole proprietor, by definition, would just be one person,
right.
So that wouldn't work. For an LLC, you'd be giving over membership units. So if an owner has a 100 membership units, you might give 10 membership units to a key employee or something along those lines.
Okay.
With a corporation, you'd be giving stock certificates. So maybe you have 100 shares, you give 10 shares to a key employee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But every time you bring in an owner, another owner, then you now have to, when you have meetings, they have to be included. It becomes more cumbersome in the sense of just absolutely doing as you so choose.
Okay, so be very, very careful when you start dividing up who has the ownership of the business. The other thing is, of course, in the long run, how that all ends up, if there's problems and so on, how you end up dividing things back up again and who gets what at the other end.
That is correct, and that comes in a couple ways. And first of all, if for some reason, you know, 3 years down the road it doesn't work out and you've gifted 10% of the company to an employee and then it doesn't work out,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to buy back these shares that you gifted to them originally. A lot of owners don't like that they have, they gave it to them and now they got to pay for it.
Right.
So that's one issue. And then the second issue, which may be perfectly fine if that's what they want, but when you, maybe you sell the company or sell, have a stock sale of your company, now that 10% of that, net profit, so to speak, is going to end up going to that person.
Right. So you have to, again, planning ahead. And all of this, would go into what kind of a document would you put that into?
I would put that in typically into a buy-sell agreement.
Okay.
And with a buy-sell agreement, there's certain things that are what I call triggering events. These are events that would require somebody to sell shares back or to the company or to the remaining shareholders. Examples of triggering events would be if somebody's terminated, somebody quits, somebody becomes permanently disabled. Another thing would obviously be death.
Right.
So those are all typical triggering events, and the death issue could be covered by life insurance to make sure there's enough money to pay out the deceased shareholder.
Yeah. Back in one of my former lives, I was involved with an insurance agency, and one of the things we used to work with was called key man insurance, and it's something to plan ahead to be able to make sure that if something happened either in a partnership or in a corporate structure, that there was funding available to take care of those things to be able to get the ownership rights transferred to the necessary people and the funding to be able to do that.
Yeah, that can be very critical, especially with a, you know, a smaller entity. If somebody tragically passes away, A, you have to pay them back for their shares, which could be crippling to a business if you don't have life insurance. Secondly, you typically have to replace that person. Now you got another salary that you have to take care of.
Right.
So for all those reasons, life insurance can be a good mechanism to help keep the company viable.
Okay, so we're back to this again where you need to have some professional partners, not just the attorney, not just the accountant, but you also need an insurance person and your banker. So those four are your primary partners that you have to have in the professional side.
I agree. I mean, you have to have key contact people in all those various areas, the accountants, business, bankers, attorneys. They all work together to help your company flourish.
Okay, and it's a good thing to get them all in the same room once in a while.
Sure. I don't know. That's
when
not always easy. That is not always easy to do to get everybody in the same room, but you certainly can attempt to do that.
Yeah. And, well, and again, that way all the parties know what your plan is as a business person and also how they, what their role is and how they're helping you. So it's a good thing to have them available at all times.
Absolutely.
Okay. And yeah, and the other trick, of course, is they always talk about the fact that, you know, it's going to cost you money to have this done, but it's like the old you pay me now or you pay me later kind of thing. I think I asked the question before, but in all honesty, when should you start doing your planning?
You have to do it up front. Because what happens is if you don't have, for example, a buy-sell agreement, that means there's no restrictions on where that person's shares are going. So somebody passes away that's a 50% owner, and there's no restrictions where his or her shares go, it might go to their spouse.
Right.
Well, you might love your partner, but, you know, whether you want to be in business with their spouse is a whole nother ball game.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, you also have the two kids who only want the money because they enjoy playing golf all the time on dad's money. So,
yeah. So it's critical that it's up front. So everybody has an understanding.
Right.
If you don't have an understanding, that's where the litigation costs can go through the roof and be very costly for a business that may not be able to afford it.
Right. So, yeah, again, back to the same thing. You know, why didn't you call me and talk to me about this in the first place instead of waiting until you need me? That's one of the lines I've heard from a couple of attorneys is that if you'd wait until you need me, it's a little too late.
Well, it'll be a lot more expensive is the problem.
Right. Okay, so, all righty. Well, as far as, you know, we get the structure put together, some plans for continuation and so on, what are the other things, some of the other things we need to be thinking about?
Well, one thing I just want to clarify with respect to a name.
Okay.
People, as we've talked about earlier today, is they'll set up their own articles. They'll file it with the Department of Financial Institutions, and they'll say, my name is ABC Company.
Mm-hmm.
And if DFI accepts it, Madison accepts it, you get that company name. People think, well, I got my name. I'm good. It's my name now.
Mm-hmm.
That is far from true.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. not everybody incorporates. So there could be a sole proprietorship up in Superior, Wisconsin, using the exact same name and have been using it for 20 years.
Right.
They can come back and say, we used it first. You can't use that name.
Okay.
So simply because down in Madison, they'll let you file that name doesn't necessarily mean it's yours. Secondly, we have to understand that while it may be available in Wisconsin to file under that ABC corporation,
right,
doesn't mean there isn't 49 other states where somebody has already done it, used that same name for many years. So
okay,
it is critical, in my opinion, if you plan on going global or
okay,
or nationally, you have to do some further searching.
Where would I go? Now, in the state of Wisconsin, like you said, Department of Financial Institutions is one place where you register. But where would I go to find out if that name's being used?
Typically, law firms, there are law firms that specialize in that, trademark, that type of thing.
So in the intellectual property area?
Correct.
Okay.
That is not something I do, but I do refer that out.
Okay. But that would be then looking it up, making sure it's not being used. And then even if you do register it, of course, the biggest problem is still you have to defend it. Nobody else is going to, you know, they're not, the state isn't going to call you up and say, hey, somebody else just came in and wanted to use your name. It's still up to you to defend it.
And that is correct. So a lot of times to avoid potential problems, if you can use a region like Fox Valley or something like that in your name,
okay,
it's less likely you're going to have that problem with somebody in Hawaii or some other state. So if you can regionalize it or put something special in it that would make it unique to you, less likely you're going to have a conflict.
Okay. All righty. So be sure that you plan ahead. Make sure that your name is there. A number of other things yet we need to talk about. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Remind you, too, if you have any questions, please give us a call at 281-1150 in Appleton or on the Metro TV, TDS Metrocom line at 1-866-887-1150. Okay. We'll take a quick break. This is the Biz Talk Show here on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. Welcome back again to the Biz Talk Show. I'm Randy Melzer, your host today, and we've been talking with Greg Curtis, attorney at law from the Hurley Clark Law Firm here in Appleton, talking a lot about how to set up your business, planning, things that you need to be aware of as you're going along. I think there's a couple more things that we had talked about to be sure you cover when you're doing your planning, getting yourself set up.
Well, yeah, there are numerous other things that we could talk about. I know there's not enough time to cover everything, but another thing that we could certainly just touch on, employment agreements and covenant not to compete agreements.
Okay.
Typically, especially for key employees, you want to set out some rules as to what their duties are, what their salary is going to be, what their commissions if they're on sales and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more critically, especially if you have salespeople, you may want to restrict them in the event that they leave your company, because you hire them, you pay them, and then at some point in time they leave, and then they might want to take the company's customers with them.
Right, right. Now those would be, that'd be, like you said, under the non-compete type of agreements.
That is correct.
Yeah, and on those now, how I've heard a lot of different things about those as far as being enforceable, unenforceable, things that you should or shouldn't put into them. Without going into a whole lot of detail, how strong is a non-compete?
Well, they are determined on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
So what I tell people is there has to be something that the company's trying to protect. So if I try to have my secretary sign a covenant not to compete, there's no court in the world that would enforce that because she can't practice law.
Right.
But on salesmen are probably on the other end of the spectrum because they get such a close relationship with your customers,
right,
that courts generally, well, at least will take a serious look at enforcing it with somebody that could just take a whole bunch of your business away after you've been paying them through the years.
Yeah, I had worked with an insurance agency. We had those in there that usually it would be a one-year non-compete situation where you could notify people that you had left but that you could not solicit them for their business. Other things I saw was like an area that you couldn't solicit business within 25 miles of the office or whatever. Are those kind of common situations?
Those are common situations. Typically, an employment covenant not to compete, the maximum I've ever seen is 2 years, mm-hmm, being enforced. If you sell a business, however, I believe it could be like up to 5 years you could have a covenant not to compete.
Okay. So in other words, again, know what you want to do, plan it, and have it in writing with your people so everybody's very clear on what's going on.
Correct.
Okay. All righty. And any other areas then as far as continuation of the business and so on? I think we touched a little bit on that, but any other thoughts on that area?
Well, I guess next, what I'd like to talk about is you work very hard, you build up your business from a baby, so to speak, and mm-hmm. make it very successful. The next question is, okay, now you're it's time that you want to exit the business. So a couple things I will tell you. Typically, there's two types of ways to exit a business. It's either an asset sale, where you sell all the assets of your company,
mm-hmm.
or a stock sale, which is selling all the securities in your company.
Okay.
So that those are the two typical ways that takes place. When you buy the shares or the equities of the company, the mm-hmm. securities of that company, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly. So
yep.
some people don't want to buy that. They just want to buy the assets because they don't want to take on all the liabilities that have potentially acquired over the years
okay.
of operation.
Okay. Now, with the asset type of situation, that would be more, again, for a sole proprietor, for a partnership business as opposed to a corporation?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Corporations many times sell their assets
okay.
and keep their corporation. They might have to, the buyer might take by their name, and then they have to change their corporate name, but they'll still buy all the assets, the real estate, the inventory, the customer list, the goodwill,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all of those, and contracts.
Okay. Now, there are organizations that can help people do this besides, obviously the legal side, planning it out. But there are other organizations, too, that you can go to if you're looking to buy or sell a business. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are brokers out there that will help sell your business, and they'll work with the accountant to say what's the best for you from a tax standpoint. They'll find a willing buyer for you. So a broker actually, just like a real estate broker, they're matchmakers. They find a good buyer that at an acceptable price that you're willing to sell your business for.
Okay. And again, back to the situation, the time to plan for all of this is when you're starting out?
Certainly, you could have a 10, 20-year plan and decide,
right.
When is a good exit time for you. I mean, sometimes people use brokers. Sometimes people bring somebody into their company
mm-hmm.
who are, maybe younger and want to work another 20 years after you're done, so that might be a good pick.
Okay.
So another potential option, so one is a broker, one is somebody within the company, like a manager or something, that's pretty common. And then the third one is a family member.
Okay.
A lot of people, have closely held companies that have been in their family for, decades and decades, and it just passes on to their sons or daughters.
Yeah,
keep the business running.
Sometimes I've run into situations like that where people should have really planned on this 5 years, 10 years ago, and all of a sudden decide they want to get out and sell. And that's a little late to be able to do it instantaneously. Okay, well, Greg, we've covered an awful lot of stuff as far as the ins and outs of planning and putting your business together. As is our normal custom, we normally ask our guests to give us a biz tip, a piece of wisdom for our clients out there. So what would you say passing on as far as a biz tip today?
Well, I tell many clients this. You can do your own brain surgery, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
So please let accountants, attorneys, brokers, insurance people help you at those things that they have an expertise in, because it will save you a lot of money down the road.
Okay. So, but do it in advance and plan it out so you have it on paper and everybody knows where it is and what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a good piece of advice for anybody. So you're back to the same thing. Come see one of the SCORE counselors. We'll set you up with a business plan and introduce you to the right people as far as getting your plan put together. So, again, Greg, thank you very much for coming on today, and we'll be back next week. Hopefully Tony will be back in good health and fine fettle. And other than that, the best I can say is go Pack. Hope everything goes well tonight. So, again, thank you for listening to Biz Talk here on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.